Court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Dr. Lawyer, idiot chief. For my life is songs of grief with the yellow fear and fearless eyes. You temper all the times I
welcome to Court Appointed, Two Dudes' Perspective on Legal Frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer, dude, and a judge.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
I've noticed ever since I've been recording these at home and we've been doing it remote, we'll be sitting here chit-chatting for a few minutes before we get going. House is quiet, no noise whatsoever. Then all of a sudden, we start recording, we do the intro, and the dogs have a lot to say. I don't understand it.
I know, it's just like having the Bumpus dogs next door.
We've got a cat now, too.
Well, no wonder the dogs are barking. That's a bad mix.
No, our cat and dogs get along great, so maybe it is the end of the world. I don't know. Cats and dogs living together.
Cats as big as rats and rats as big as cats and 10,000 peopleoids stare down with red mutant eyes.
I was thinking about a Twinkie about the size of New York.
Oh, well,
that's a big Twinkie.
The marshmallow man.
That's right. So it seems like history is repeating itself. At least our podcast episodes are a little bit.
Yeah, we did this in 2020 and here we are back with it again. So I don't know. They just keep seeming to be topical. And there always seems to be that much more to add to it.
Yeah, last week we kind of rehashed impeachment a little bit because, well, it came up again. And this week we decided we want to talk about pardons. And you know what? We've talked about pardons before.
And we looked,
it was episode 182. We kind of went over it and talked about the history of it a little bit, which I think we're going to talk about today, just kind of a refresher course on it. But then we want to talk about some of the different people who were recently pardoned by President Trump on his last act of office.
Yes, it's a wide-reaching list of who done it and who want to be it or something.
So, you know, the thought was that, well, maybe all these episodes we did in 2020 don't really count, so we're just going to go through and do them all over again.
Yeah, 2020 was just a throwaway year, so we'll just start back through the catalog, make it easy to come up with a topic, huh?
Yeah, we'll just... 2020 part two.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Yes, we want to cover facets of the law, but we also want to remain topical when there's topics going on that people may have questions about. So
yeah.
When the topics keep coming back up year after year, it's hard to just ignore them. You know, I felt very good about the topic we put up this month. This week, because it was very topical, last week now. Because it was very topical, so I feel like we have to do it again, even though I don't know what I'm saying.
Daggone it, man. What are you trying to say? I have no idea what you're even talking about.
I know what I'm trying to say, but I'm not succeeding.
I've had days like that.
It was a long night last night short on sleep, long on being up.
Well, I had something funny happen to me in court, so... I'll indulge you, all the listeners, with this quick story. So I was in a hearing, and I had actually never met the person who I was about to ask questions of. They were on the witness stand, and they were actually kind of on my side. So it was a witness that was actually favorable to me, but I'd never met him before. And I said, hello, so-and-so. My name is Michael Meadows, and I explained my role in the case. And I said, I don't think we've ever met. It's nice to meet you. And kind of looked at the witness, and the witness kind of looked at me. And what seemed like an eternity passed. I think it was probably about 10 seconds. Then the witness looked at me and said, okay.
His words.
I was just waiting to see if you had any response to me saying it was nice to meet you. Let's move on to the next question.
You stumped him with that one.
I was thinking to myself, come on, dude. Let's get a few softballs in here. Let's get a bit of a rapport going here before I get into the real meat and potatoes of this.
And what if he had come back like going, what do you mean, Uncle Mike?
Yeah.
What do you mean, Cousin Mike? You know, whatever. Yeah. That would have just made everything fall apart.
But fortunately, it went pretty well after that. So, but the beginning of it was a little bit awkward. I don't think he was prepared to make small talk on the record while sitting in a witness stand. I was trying to make him feel comfortable too. So it's like, you know, hey, just we're having a conversation here. You know what I mean?
And instead, you hung him up.
And it hung
How
him
am
up.
I doing? How am I doing? Well, let's see. That's a loaded question. Should I answer honestly or just say, okay, is this a trick? He was weighing all his options.
It technically was cross-exam, so I could have actually asked him leading questions. I should have said, isn't it true that it's nice to meet me today? Yes or no, that's enough.
That would have been hilarious.
Yeah. So I think actually I did follow up the next couple questions with some very leading questions just to get simple yeses before I got into a few more free-flowing type responses. But yeah,
kind of like when they do a lie detector test and they ask those first questions like, is your name Michael? Yes. Is this your first time ever to do this? Real simple questions.
Yeah.
And then they go, did you kill your girlfriend?
Yeah. just get it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny that this judge was in front of, I had another kind of funny story. I don't think I've told in the podcast before where, they were questioning my client and about who my client had left their child with. And they were trying to say that my client shouldn't have done that because they really didn't know who this person was. And so the other attorney said, well, for all you know, it could have been Jeffrey Dahmer that you left your child with. So objection, judge. Counsel knows that Jeffrey Dahmer is deceased.
Well, no, I'd have known him if it was Jeffrey Dahmer. I know who he is. I just didn't know who this other guy was.
Like, can the court take judicial notice that Jeffrey Dahmer is deceased, please? The judge actually liked it so much, he had that printed up and sent it to me, the transcript of it.
That's like those ones where they do sometimes on TV and they show older celebrities and you have to guess alive or dead.
Yeah. Alive or dead.
That's kind of cold.
Yeah, it is a little bit. So, talking about pardons, our founding fathers had many debates on presidential pardons during the 1787 convention. Alexander Hamilton, who maybe people have heard of, proposed that the president should be given the power to pardon those who committed crimes or to reduce their sentence. Hamilton's thought process was that these pardons may help, quote, restore the tranquility of the Commonwealth in a time of rebellion. So, and it was not a totally foreign idea to English laws because the governors in the colonies pretty much had the same powers as well. So it was not some sort of unheard of type idea. And most people generally agreed at the Constitutional Convention with him. However, there was a last minute vote, which was defeated, which would not have allowed presidents to grant pardons in cases of treason. So I can see the thought process there, which played out kind of recently, is that
absolutely
you don't want the president to incur or try to push some sort of treasonous revolt and then pardon those people so they get out of jail free for doing that. You want to discourage that kind of behavior.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Right. So Article 2 of the Constitution gives the president power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States. And the one thing that's not in there is that the president is not allowed to pardon themselves from being impeached or anything like that, which actually is currently happening right now. And the important thing to remember, and this comes up a lot, is that presidents can only pardon federal crimes, not state crimes. So if someone's convicted of a state crime, they're basically SOL, and I don't mean statute of limitations, when it comes to a possible presidential pardon.
That's right. S-O-O-L.
two O's. I was making that one word.
Yeah. It flows better that way.
O-U-T-T-A.
Yeah.
So the president has four different kinds of pardon power. There's an actual pardon, which is complete forgiveness and restores the full rights of citizenship. Those who have been convicted of crimes actually forfeit certain rights and certain things about what they can do and hold certain offices and things like that. But a pardon makes it like it never really happened. So it puts you back to square one. There's commutation, and a commutation of sentence is the reduction of a sentence to a lesser period of time, and it can occur for some of the same reasons a pardon may be granted, but it's not quite as good as a pardon. There is a release or fine, or sometimes called remission, which is a complete or partial cancellation of a fine. And there's a respite, which is probably the most rare of any of these, and that's when there's a delay or temporary suspension of punishment. That might happen if there was some sort of family emergency or somebody passed away and they said, well, we're not going to commute your sentence or pardon you, but we're going to give you 30 days to grieve the loss of your parent, and then you report to jail after that, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the president's power to pardon is pretty much unlimited and unchecked. And that's just the way it is according to our Constitution. That caused one delegate in particular at the Constitutional Convention, George Mason of Pennsylvania, to actually not sign the Constitution. That was one of the main reasons that hung Mr. Mason up to not sign it, is because he didn't like this. And he said that a president with the power to pardon the treasonous might make dangerous use of it by pardoning crimes in which he was a co-conspirator, which Mason believed could destroy the Republic.
Well, we've seen evidence of that.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. Mason knew what he was saying.
And interestingly enough, there were two other people, Elbridge Gerry of Massachusetts and Edmund Randolph of Virginia, also did not sign the final constitutional document. So they were the ones who were actually still there but didn't sign it. There were other delegates who were there but left before the signing of it who didn't sign it, but they were the ones who actually were still there and refused to sign it. So leading up to President Trump's actual pardons, I had one interesting kind of tidbit here. In August of 2020, President Trump officially pardoned Susan B. Anthony, who had died in 1906. He noted that she was arrested in 1872 for voting before it was legal for women to do so. And he couldn't believe, like, she was never pardoned? Do you know she was never pardoned? Well, the Susan B. Anthony Museum actually refused it and said, "Objection, Mr. President, Susan B. Anthony must decline your offer of pardon." And said, "Anthony wrote in her diary in 1873 that her trial for voting was the greatest outrage history ever witnessed. She was not allowed to speak as a witness in her own defense because she was a woman. At the conclusion of arguments, Judge Hunt dismissed the jury and pronounced her guilty. She was outraged to be denied a trial by jury. She proclaimed, 'I shall never pay a dollar of your unjust penalty. To pay would have validated the proceedings.' And to pardon Susan B. Anthony would have done the same." So
yeah,
even though...
If you get a pardon or whatever, you have to accept responsibility or guilt for the crime.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that actually,
they didn't want the pardon.
Yeah, there was a case that we talked about in the last episode where a gentleman was offered a pardon but actually refused it and ended up being hung. And then we actually went to the Supreme Court and there was a case about it. So.
Yeah. So I can understand that reasoning of not taking it because... So every one of these people that was given a pardon or a commutation or whatever accepts the responsibility of guilt in association with their crime.
Yeah. Now, there were a few more pardons that were kind of controversial that happened, and it happened generally around the time of the Civil War, which I want to talk about. But before we get to that little bit of pardonist history, I think there might be a pending motion before the court today.
Why, yes, if you'll pardon the court, we'd like to approach the bench to pay court costs.
Well, I'm going to not commute the court costs this time, so let's go ahead and have you pay them. Here we go. Who's on the docket?
We have back with us Word Forest. Keeping your body in shape is important, but it's also important to keep your mind sharp. I've been leveling up my focus with Word Forest.
Word Forest is our new favorite game. It's a word puzzle app, and the best part, it's free.
Free is the best price for me. You see how that rhymed? I just did that.
You did, yeah. It's a nice ad lib. I like it.
Yeah, it was like free range rhyming. Something like that.
So Word Forest is an app made for word search addicts. You can connect letters in any direction from hidden word matches.
It has over 2,000 levels, so you never get bored playing. It starts easy, but gets harder as you get better.
That's kind of like life, but you don't necessarily get better. It just gets harder.
That's true.
But the thing about Word Forest is it's fun. You can find as many words as possible to earn bonus coins and uncover hidden words.
Word Forest is a relaxing game with a nature setting and a great way to keep your mind sharp and grow your vocabulary.
Put yourself to the test in this fun and addicting brain game.
Right now, WordForest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play.
So stop mindlessly scrolling through social media right now and start keeping your mind sharp. Just go to the Apple or Google store and search for WordForest.
Download WordForest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles.
I actually don't know how to actively stretch or flex my brain muscles. I think it has to do with some grunting, but I'm not certain.
Well, you don't have to worry. With WordForest, it does it for you.
Well, good, because I have no idea how to do it.
Just download the app for free.
My eyes are still closed trying to flex it. I don't know.
My ears wiggle when I do that.
So Abraham Lincoln made some controversial pardons, and he actually, in 1862, refused to authorize the executions of 265 Dakota men in Minnesota. Suffering from hunger and repeated treaty violations, these men had attempted to drive white settlers from native ancestral lands by burning settlements and murdering civilians. Between 600 and 700 settlers were killed in what was the worst massacre in American history. Up to 40,000 fled the Minnesota frontier, and more than 500 Native Americans were killed in retaliation. And due to long-standing racial animosity toward Native Americans and the magnitude of the crimes, Lincoln's decision not to order the execution was very unpopular. Lincoln, horrified by the unjust and unprofessional trials that led to convictions of many obviously innocent men, said he could not afford to hang men for votes. Still, the 1862 hanging of the 38 men who were not pardoned remains one of the largest mass executions in the nation's history. So it was very kind of contentious time. But, you know, I kind of respect that it wasn't a very popular thing to do at the time. There was a lot of outrage, but he felt that it was unjust, and he went ahead and pardoned people.
Well, I think that showed some of his wisdom that was beyond most of where the country was, because you had a people that was vastly oppressed and cheated out of their land and starved to death and everything else. So yeah. I think that he saw what they went through, and if you put yourself in their position, probably say, I'd have done the same thing.
Now, after Lincoln was assassinated and after the Civil War in 1865, Andrew Johnson gave a blanket pardon to former Confederates, with the exceptions for those who had personally helped orchestrate the South's secession from and war against the Union. And he even actually started granting those people pardons as well later on. And he granted pardons to up to 90% of the applicants, more than 13,000 people in all, including many high-level Confederate officials. And unfortunately, many of these leaders later became the architects of the different Jim Crow laws, the racist laws which were designed to reestablish the racial hierarchy in the former Confederacy. Kind of one of the sad things that happened there. And interestingly enough, one of the people that was pardoned was Augustus Hill Garland, who was a former Confederate senator and attorney, and he received a pardon in 1865, but he remained disbarred under a law passed earlier that year that stripped law licenses from any former Confederates. He took the case all the way to the Supreme Court, arguing that he shouldn't be subject to the law since his crime had been wiped away. The justice agreed, and in the ruling, they affirmed the president's broad power to issue pardons, including the power to grant a pardon before a person has been charged with a crime. So there were some kind of very controversial pardons that had happened in the past. Now, that's been quite some time ago, and some of the more recent pardons have been a little bit controversial as well.
Well, one of the ones that I thought was a good one is when George Washington, he pardoned the people that had been prosecuted for the Whiskey Rebellion.
Yeah, he did.
And that was good for the country at the time, because they had just come out of fighting England for independence, where England was the one prosecuting our people and hanging them. And for him to take over, that was going to cause a problem between the states and the federal government. So I think that ended up being something that said, maybe this isn't such a bad idea after all.
Well, I mean, and also the Whiskey Rebellion had a lot to do with state rights versus federal rights too. So, you know, and looking at hindsight of Andrew Johnson's pardons to former Confederates, you know, I wonder if he actually thought that this would lead to the Jim Crow laws and things like that, or if he was trying to act in the same way as he thought Washington would have, and trying to bring the nation together to kind of heal the divide by, you know, pardoning things. So it's, you know, it's hard to say what the actual intent was, but we know what the result was, unfortunately.
Right.
Now, one of their interesting things is preemptive pardons. And one of the most famous preemptive pardon was President Richard Nixon. He resigned after the Watergate scandal, and Gerald Ford actually granted him an unconditional pardon for all offenses that he may have committed. So he hadn't even been charged with anything, and Gerald Ford actually gave him a pardon. So there's some thought that this actually led to the downfall of Gerald Ford's career for doing that, and it wasn't very popular.
Well, you know, everybody was convinced that Nixon had done something that broke the law. So for him to pardon him of it and not even get the... They didn't even get as far as having the impeachment process. So, you know, none of the stuff ever came to light about what he did. And I think that was part of the problem, too.
Yeah. Another very controversial was President Jimmy Carter on the first day in office in 1977. He issued unconditional pardons to all people who have evaded the draft during the Vietnam War, even those who had not been prosecuted. And he was, you know, essentially trying to heal the rifts between different people in the country, but that was pretty much condemned by all the veterans group and all the people that had answered the call and done that. So, I mean, not a very popular thing. And again, I think Carter was a one-term president.
Which, he was.
Who knows? That may have played some part into it.
Yeah, so I'm sure it did. Well, you know, that's one of the things that I was thinking about this is if the president pardons people in the middle of his term, then he pardons them and then has to take whatever the consequences are if they aren't good decisions. If you do it as you're walking out the door, though, to me that's kind of cowardly, and it really creates a situation where you can do a lot of underhanded stuff. And I'm not saying Trump's the only one to do that. There's plenty of them that on their last day in office they did all these pardons. I mean, the only pardon I thought I was in favor of is the turkey that they pardon every year at Thanksgiving. But you know, it's really kind of bad if on the last day there you let all your cronies out of prison, people that, you know, did bribery and fraud schemes and worked with you and you have financial dealings with, and then you let them out. That looks bad.
Yeah. Also, it could be bad too if someone has kind of courted you during the entire course of your presidency about doing this and maybe made some contributions and things like that and whatnot. Almost kind of essentially buying a pardon that they get on the last day. There's no checks and balance for that.
Yeah, what's to prevent them from that? I had heard a rumor, of course, I don't know where it came from or anything. It's probably fake news, that there was people out working for Trump soliciting money in exchange for pardons.
Yeah, that'd be really sad if there was. I mean, I haven't seen anything like that, but who knows? I mean,
yeah, that's just not the way it's supposed to operate.
Yeah. Now, actually, Trump pardoned fewer people than any of the modern, any of his modern predecessors. So he had pardoned several of his own friends and supporters in the past. But in 2001, Bill Clinton pardoned his own half brother, Roger Clinton, for a 1985 conviction relating to distributing cocaine. Mm-hmm. So tell me why that was motivated from. I mean,
it's pretty
clear.
Bill Clinton pardoned several questionable ones. As a matter of fact, they said that when he went out on a real down note due to some of the pardons he issued. I think that he pardoned some people that were associated with that Whitewater incident.
Yeah. Obama encouraged people to apply for clemency, and he granted 212 pardons and commuted 1,715 sentences during his 8 years. It was the most for most of those were for low-level drug offenses, and that was actually one of the higher amounts of pardons that any president has ever granted. So,
but he didn't grant them all on the last day.
No, he did it kind of over the time, and he had people apply, and he had his, there's like a special counsel that reviews these for the presidents and makes suggestions about that.
That's what I mean. If you're doing it during your term, then you are there to say, okay, if I do this, I'm going to take the consequences that come with it. And if the people decide that you're dishonest in what you do, then they vote you out of office.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you do it as you're walking out the door, release it at 1 o'clock in the morning, the day before you're going off duty, that looks a little shady.
Before you walk over to the West Wing and punch your time card.
Yeah.
I'm out of here. It's the freaking weekend.
I'm out of here.
That's what my boss always said at the one law firm I worked at. He's like, I can't stand it at 5 o'clock when everybody's out of here, yabba dabba doing it, running out the door.
Yeah.
It's kind of like one of those lines from Point Break. This is not some job flipping burgers down at the local Burger King. It's like, you got work to do. Don't run out the door at 5 o'clock. So we wanted to talk about some of the different people that Trump actually pardoned or helped them out. And we went through the list and kind of got some of the highlights from it and some that stuck out.
143 people.
Yeah, that's a pretty good amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long list. It is not a distinguished list, I wouldn't say, but it is a long list nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, the one that stands out first and foremost is Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
Who, of course, was his campaign guy and then held an advisor position with him for like the first 2 years of his presidency, maybe?
Yeah, he was the chief strategist in the White House.
Yeah.
He was actually indicted in August with three other people on wire fraud and money laundering conspiracy charges.
Yeah, they were fraudulently collecting money from Trump supporters to build Trump's wall, and they were keeping the money for themselves, or at least not all of it, but a large portion of it.
Yeah.
And they caught them all on a yacht of a Chinese billionaire when they arrested them.
Yeah. The crowdfunding We Build the Wall raised more than $25 million, and it was generally from Trump supporters, obviously. And he had actually taken into custody by the U.S. Postal Inspection Service while he was on that yacht. That's kind of interesting. But he received a full pardon, so he's not going to have to face trial or anything. Like, he's right. Just scot-free.
He's free and clear. You know, he kind of turned on Trump after he left the White House, so I'm kind of surprised about that. Unless money changed hands and money talks. BS walks.
He didn't really, once he got indicted and charged with this, I don't think he really said too much about Trump. He just kind of kept his mouth shut and thought,
oh, yeah,
I know where the bodies are buried. I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah, once he got caught, yeah. But before that, there was a period right after he left where he talked rather disparagingly about his former boss.
So after Bannon, another person that was pardoned was Michael Ashley. And Ashley was convicted for bank fraud over the 2009 collapse of a mortgage company, Lend America, and he was sentenced to 3 years in prison in 2019. He was the executive vice president and chief business strategist with the company. He was ordered to pay $49 million in restitution and $800,000 in forfeiture, and his sentence was commuted. So he wasn't actually pardoned. His sentence was commuted. Now, I was kind of curious about, well, that $49 million that he fraudulently took and the $800,000 in forfeiture, mm-hmm. is he going to have to still satisfy that?
Yeah.
So I went and actually read the language of the commutation, and the fines and restitution were specifically left intact. Okay. So he just commuted the sentence and didn't necessarily wipe away everything. So it's not just a get out of jail free card. There's going to be some money to be repaid.
Now, when they commute your sentence, basically they just say time served. I mean, is basically what it is.
Yeah, it's time served. So you don't have to do anything else.
Yeah,
so, but you know, the question
processing
I don't
have, the paperwork to get you out, huh?
Yeah. The question I have is, you know, if the sentence was commuted, then that means they can't obviously put you back into prison anymore. So what is the hammer, so to speak, to get you to pay that $49 million in restitution, the $800,000 in forfeiture? So
civil suit.
Well, then you got to try to collect on it.
Yeah.
So restitution in a criminal case is much better if the person's on probation, because they can always be violated from their probation by not actually paying the restitution.
Right.
So even though the money is still left intact as due, who knows if there's any real hammer to make it come due. So I don't know.
Now, here was one that I saw that I thought was a little bit outlandish. A Dr. Faustino Bernadette.
I saw that one.
A retired anesthesiologist, he was sentenced last year to 15 months in federal prison for taking part in a long-running health care fraud scheme where he authorized sham contracts that concealed over $30 million in illegal kickback payments to physicians. According to the U.S. Attorney's Office, the overall scheme resulted in more than $900 million in fraudulent bills being submitted. The office said the White House said Bernadette has spent the past year devoted to helping protect his community from COVID. So he received a full pardon for that. That doesn't seem equitable. $900 million he cost this country.
I know. That's a lot of money. And with one swipe of the pen, he's free and clear.
Especially when you've got people out of work and everything due to the pandemic and people struggling and food bank lines going for miles. And this guy scams $900 million and gets a full pardon.
Yeah, very, very bizarre. There were two pardons, which were kind of odd. Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., also known as Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne.
He was granted a pardon. And he pleaded guilty in December to federal weapons charge after he carried a handgun from California to Florida on his private jet. He was not allowed to do that because, due to prior felony convictions, he was barred from having a firearm in his possession. And the charge carried actually the sentence of up to 10 years. And he met with the president recently, and I think there's some pictures floating on the internet of that. And Trump pardoned him. So he is free and clear.
Just, well, they had a former relationship. He was either the winner or the runner-up on The Apprentice one year.
I don't know. I never really watched. I watched maybe the first season of that show, but that's about all I've delved into my apprenticeship.
I watched several seasons, and now I regret it. I wish I'd have known then what I know now, because before there's a certain entertainment factor when he's just screwing over random people on a reality show. When he's screwing over a country, though, then it's not as easy to laugh at.
Now, the other interesting pardon is Bill Capri, also known as Kodak Black, and he is a rapper as well, and he was sentenced to 46 months in prison on a federal weapons charge in 2019, and admitting that he had falsified information to buy four firearms. He had gotten three guns, a 9mm handgun, a .380 caliber handgun, and a semi-automatic mini Draco weapon, and he received a full pardon. So,
well, I don't think those weapons charges should apply to rappers, because you can't be a legit rapper if you don't have weapons. So, you know, that's just part of the game.
I will tell you that having clients who have been charged with weapons charges, and they're not supposed to have them because of a felony, it's a pretty serious charge, and it's you see it pop up a lot. I mean, you really do. Felon in possession of firearm, that's a very common charge.
Yeah. It seems strange to me that they could enforce that on Lil Wayne when he was flying on his own private jet from one place to another.
Well, it doesn't matter where he was or what he was doing. I mean, it was in his possession. So he is prohibited from possessing it. Mm-hmm. And those laws, there's even constructive possession, too, can apply sometimes in certain situations. So if you're in a car and you say you didn't know it was there and it was, say, on the other side of the car, if you're in it, I mean, they could say that you constructively possessed it, because that would be a very easy loophole to get around. Oh, no, no, I didn't have it. It wasn't mine. It was sitting all the way over there. I didn't know it was there. So constructive possession comes into play quite a bit, and you're not allowed to be anywhere around it. So if there's no one else that says, no, that's not his gun, it's my gun, then you might have a problem if you're a felon.
There was another guy that was pardoned. Todd Bollinger, and he was partners with that Jack Abramoff, who was, of course, convicted of all kinds of bribery and stuff that had to do with lobbying and everything.
Yeah.
And he was infamous for the stuff that he had gotten into with that.
Yeah. That's kind of fallen out of the news cycle quite a bit. Abramoff was back in probably about 10 years ago, I think, wasn't there, something along those lines?
Yeah, 2009.
Yeah. And interesting was Elliot Brody, and Brody was a former Republican National Committee finance chair and one of Trump's top fundraisers, and he was pardoned. He pleaded guilty in October to conspiring to violate foreign lobbying laws. Prosecutors said that the scheme aimed to have the Trump administration sink an investigation into the multi-billion dollar looting of the Malaysian state investment fund. So he was guilty of kind of screwing over Malaysians as well.
So now we know why he was a finance guy. He knew where to get the money, huh?
That's right. There's one that was kind of funny in a certain way.
In a dark humor kind of way.
Kenneth Kersen, maybe ironic. So Trump had granted clemency to Kersen, who was a former editor of the New York Observer and a friend of Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And he was charged last October with cyberstalking during a heated divorce. So 2 years ago, the Trump administration had offered a seat on the board of the National Endowment for the Humanities to this guy, since he was a close friend of the son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Right.
And as part of the routine background check for the position, the FBI uncovered a swirl of harassment allegations against him over his divorce in 2015. He then decided to withdraw from consideration based on that, but the fallout from the nomination didn't end there. They actually charged him with this cyber-stalking based on what they uncovered, doing their due diligence to give him an appointment to a cabinet position.
Man. So don't apply. Don't apply if you got those kind of skeletons in your closet.
So he pardoned him, which I guess that's, I can see that's maybe only fair. You know, it's like one of those, it's a fine mess you've gotten us into, Donald.
I don't agree. That's the one thing that I've marked out on here. Anybody who was guilty of a violent crime, and if you ask me, cyber stalking, whether you put hands on somebody or not, it's a violent crime.
I'm saying that in jest because
yeah. It was Donald Trump's fault for inviting him, but he should have known enough about exactly. his own background to say, thank you for the mention, but I'm good. I don't think that I want to get into that. See, that's what a lot of those people, they think they're so far above the law or their money will protect them that they think that they can do those things that the ordinary man couldn't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's crazy. And yeah, I definitely don't think that should have been pardoned either based on the charge of cyberstalking. It's nothing to laugh about. I mean, that can lead to...
Yeah.
Terrorism, like terrorizing someone. And then a lot of times that leads to actual violence against someone. So I'm not downplaying that. I just thought the way it kind of played out that he got appointed to this. And because of him being appointed to it was the reason they even found out about it. But that's kind of some dark humor to it.
There was another one, Randall Duke Cunningham. He was an ex-member of Congress. He was a California Republican sentenced to 8 years in prison for bribery and was released in 2013 and received a conditional pardon. And I just think that any of our elected officials that are involved in fraud or bribery while they're in positions that were elected by the people, I don't believe they deserve any consideration.
Yeah.
I think that they removed themselves from that kind of consideration when they took advantage of their position to defraud people.
Another interesting one with ties to the rap community was Desiree Perez. Perez was arrested in 1994 for drug possession and in 1998 for grand larceny and possession of a firearm. And in 2019, after she had served her sentence, she was named CEO of Roc Nation, the entertainment company founded by rapper/mogul Jay-Z. So that was another tie to the music industry there that he pardoned somebody for. So she had actually two different sets of felonies that the president saw fit to pardon. Another one, which is kind of shocking. I might butcher this name, but Avim Sella. And Sella is an Israeli citizen, and Sella was indicted in March 1987 on charges that he recruited convicted American spy Jonathan J. Pollard to collect U.S. military secrets for Israel. Trump granted him a full pardon, and his request was supported by the Israeli prime minister and the ambassador to the U.S. and the U.S. ambassador to Israel. So this is somebody who actually legitimately spied on the United States. Got a pardon. Now, maybe that was the right thing to do in interest of relations with Israel, but still, it kind of is a little suspect in my mind. But
yeah, Netanyahu has his own problems, and he kind of pushed Trump for that one too.
Yeah, well, maybe he thought that might help him a little bit.
It could be. Then there's also Albert Perot, who's the ex-husband of the Fox News host Jeanine Perot.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he was convicted of conspiracy and tax evasion charges in 2000, and he pardoned him. And then there was another U.S. representative, Rick Renzi, from Arizona. He was granted a full pardon. In 2013, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for extortion, bribery, insurance fraud, money laundering, and racketeering in public corruption case.
That's bingo in my card.
Yeah, he went for the full boat there, and we're pardoning him. But like I say, you know how I feel about it. If they're elected representative, they get involved in that, they don't deserve any consideration.
This one was pretty interesting. William Walters, who was a retired professional gambler, and he had been sentenced to prison for 5 years in 2017 for conspiring to commit insider trading from at least 2008 through 2014. And he was 70 at the time of his conviction, and he was ordered to pay a $10 million fine. And Trump's commutation of the sentence was supported by former Majority Leader Harry Reid, golfer Phil Mickelson, and the New York Times had reported that this pardon was brokered by John Dowd, Trump's former personal lawyer, who was actually hired by this Walters to exert his influence on Trump and try to persuade him to do it. So that was a report from the New York Times.
I don't doubt it. Here's one you might kind of recognize. Casey Urlacher. He had a brother that was a famous football player.
Oh, Brian Urlacher?
Yeah, Brian Urlacher. His brother Casey was accused of helping to run an illegal offshore gambling business. Now, he currently serves as the mayor of Mettawa, Illinois. But he went ahead and gave him a pardon. I guess his trial, see, the indictment was in 2020, so he hadn't gone to trial, but they're going ahead and pardoning him.
Yeah, well, that means he can probably run for any kind of higher office now and hold a higher office because he won't have a felony.
Yeah.
At least for that.
You know, in Illinois, being an Urlacher carries a lot of weight, with the Chicago Bears being where Brian played.
It certainly does. He was a great middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Chris Young was pardoned for his nonviolent drug offense in a conspiracy case, and he had served over 10 years of the sentence, and he actually had been given a life sentence to begin with. Kim Kardashian West had been advocating for his full release. So that was one of the ones that Kim Kardashian was really working towards, supposedly.
Now, this one kind of cracked me up. Montesho Eugene Vernon. And Vernon had his sentence commuted after serving 19 years in prison. Vernon committed numerous armed bank robberies in Greenville, South Carolina. But the White House said that some of those were committed with BB guns as opposed to real firearms.
All right.
Bank robbing is serious. Armed bank robbing is serious business.
Yeah. I mean, if I go into a bank and say I have a bomb and rob it, does that make any difference if it was just a fake bomb?
That's right. That's what I mean. So if people believed you had a gun, it doesn't matter if it was a BB gun. I don't think that should lessen it. I don't know why we want to let bank robbers out of prison.
Another interesting was Robert Bob Zangrillo. And Zangrillo is pardoned for his role in the 2019 college admission scandal. He was the CEO of a private investment firm in Miami and was accused of bribing employees from the University of Southern California's athletic department to secure his daughter's college place. And he was charged with conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud. So he was part of that whole fallout from buying the kids.
That got Aunt Becky
into school. Yeah.
That got Aunt Becky. Yeah.
So who's to say he didn't just buy his own pardon? Keep on buying. One interesting one that I had kind of a personal interest in was James E. Johnson Jr. And President Trump granted a full pardon to James E. Johnson. In 2008, he pled guilty to charges related to migratory birds. He received a one-year probation, was barred from hunting during that period, and was fined $7,500. And throughout the pardon basically reads that throughout his life, Mr. Johnson has made numerous contributions for the conservation of wildlife. And as you know, or may not know, ducks are federally protected and highly regulated. So if you're duck hunting and you have to buy like a federal duck stamp and all that, and they're subject to federal wildlife laws. So because they cross state lines. So the laws are very strict about what kind of ducks you can shoot, when you can, and things like that. So it kind of piqued my interest a little bit because I like to duck hunt. And I'm really into it, and I like the conservation of ducks. I was curious about what this guy actually did. You know, did he accidentally just shoot the wrong bird out of season, or you know, what happened? So in the 2006-2007 hunting season, Johnson purchased more than 20 tons of corn. And on January 12th and 14th, using a boat owned by Johnson and some other co-conspirators, they placed that corn in Porpoise Creek in North Carolina. And on January 16th, so a couple days later, they went to waterfowl hunting blinds in Porpoise Creek. And from those blinds, they shot several ducks. And so then they left the area to retrieve the killed ducks, and then they resumed hunting. So what they did is they hunted a baited field. They dumped 20 tons of corn into the water to try to get these ducks to come in there just so they could shoot
tons.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's like fishing with dynamite.
Yeah. It's pretty much reprehensible if you ask me, because I like to duck hunt for the pure sport of it, and I really enjoy it, and I like seeing the ducks fly. And you know, even if I don't, if I go out duck hunting and I don't shoot a single duck, just seeing them fly and, you know, trying to call to them and whatnot, that's part of the fun to it. So for somebody to dump 20 tons of corn in the water, man alive, that kind of makes me mad.
Well, I'll tell you what, I bet if the ducks were armed, it wouldn't be as much fun to go hunting.
You're probably right about that, because they can see a lot better than us.
And when it comes to that, if you shoot the wrong ones, you're ducked.
Your goose is cooked. So now there was one person that was not on the list, and I have to admit, I was actually kind of sad not to see that name. Joe Exotic was not on that list. There have been all kinds of rumors that Joe Exotic was going to be pardoned. There was even a limo waiting outside Joe Exotic's lawyer's office, ready to go pick him up and take him away from prison, but he did not get a pardon.
I think it's because poor old Joe's bankrupt. He didn't have the money to pony up for it.
Well, he was right. He was never going to financially recover from that worker getting their arm eaten.
Yeah.
So I was talking to Ian about that, and or was it Salem? Actually, it was Salem. I take that back. And he said, why would you go ahead and rent a limo if you're not even sure you're going to get it? He must be definitely going to get it. I said, this is a great PR move by that lawyer, because if you looked at all the pictures, there were these huge billboards advertising the lawyer's law firm right where that limo was parked. I said, this guy, all he had to do was say, I'm Joe Exotic's lawyer. Here's a limo to pick him up, and we're going to be leaving from my office. There were helicopters flying over with, like, and all you could see of that billboard. Like, that guy rented a limo for an evening, and he got tons of free publicity and free advertising because of it.
All he needed to do was stage it at the Four Seasons Landscaping.
That's right. We can buy 20 pounds of, or 20 tons of corn.
Yeah.
So some of the pardons were kind of controversial, and I read through the actual full list, and I will say a lot of them seem to be for nonviolent drug offenses. A lot of them seem to be related to marijuana and things like that. And for that, I actually will give Trump credit. I don't have a problem with a lot of those, but some of the ones that we mentioned were a bit more egregious and seemed to possibly have some sort of other motivation to them.
Yeah. I went through them and broke them down, because I'll tell you the truth. I'll admit that when I went to read this, I was expecting to just be outraged at just crony after crony and a lot of white collar criminals that, you know, deserve probably more of a sentence than what they got, but because of their money and stature, they didn't get what they deserved, and then they still got let off. And I got to say that I agree with you that a lot of these people were serving, I mean, in a lot of cases, life sentences for a nonviolent offense involving marijuana.
Yeah.
And I just don't see that. I know it has to do with the three strike law, and there's mandatory sentencing laws that are involved with drugs and stuff like that. But when you've got people that are serving a life sentence for selling marijuana, and some of the other two offenses of the three happened when they were teenagers, and then they get them a little later in life and do that, and then you're going to jail for life. I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I agree. And I was kind of like you. I was a little shocked too. But a lot of them seem to be pretty much worthwhile pardons. I really didn't have a problem with. So.
But I broke it down into categories of bribery, fraud, violent crime, drug ones, weapon possession, false statements, trade secrets and theft, protected wildlife, and moonshine, and conflict of interest. Now, I got to say, I never knew that false statements was as serious of a crime as it is.
Making a false statement to a federal agent?
Yeah, or like to a bank even. Several of these were people that made a false statement to a bank for a loan. And I mean, I didn't know it carried that kind of penalties. But if something, you know, maybe I didn't quite qualify quite right, and I might make a little white lie about something, I didn't know how serious that would be.
Yeah.
People are in prison for making false claims on a loan. I guess that's because banks are federally insured. So if you make a false claim to a bank, then you're violating federal law.
Yeah, I mean, when I applied to finance that Lamborghini, and I financed that over 9,000 months, you know, for whatever, I told them what my real salary was, of course.
Yeah. But out of those 143, 57 of them were ones that were in there for drug charges, nonviolent drug charges.
Yeah.
So that was a good portion of them. The next biggest category was fraud, and there were 33 people in there for fraud. Next was false statements, 18 people for making false statements on different kinds of documents, federal, I guess, documents. Then you got violent crime. Like I say, I don't agree with those. And those included auto theft, cyber stalking, murder, attempted murder, arson, and bank robbery. And there were still 9 people that were let go with that. 5 for weapon possession, which we covered a couple of those. Trade secrets or theft of military secrets, 3. Protected wildlife, that was one of them that you had that you talked about. There was another one in there, too, that had do people serving big terms for shooting the wrong ducks or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's 2 of them. I got to say, I can't get too upset about that. There was one in there for moonshining. They caught him and took his still. He went to prison.
Just a good old boy, not meaning no harm.
That's right. And then there was one for conflict of interest. And on that one, he and his company did do some things that were considered conflict of interest, but none of them gained anything monetarily from it. I mean, they basically did it, and technically it violated conflict of interest clauses, but they didn't really do it for money. You know, none of them got rich off of it or got any extra money out of it.
They just did it for love of the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Just to win. Winning, as Charlie Sheen would say.
So that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where I ask Tommy different legal questions about what we talked about. And this one's going to be a lot to do with pardons, as you might have guessed.
Well, pardon me.
So what is a pardon? In your words, Tommy, let's throw you a softball here. In case you didn't know, my name is Michael Meadows. It's nice to meet you today. So what is a pardon?
A pardon is when you wipe away somebody's crime. They may have been convicted or going to be, or they may have been indicted, and you say, nope, we're giving them a get-out-of-jail-free card. They don't have to worry about it anymore.
It's a complete forgiveness and restores full rights of citizenship. And it can be for something somebody's already being convicted of, something they're currently charged with, or even something they possibly might be charged with in the future. And what it does is it puts the person back to kind of where they were before the crime. And the person can actually apply to have the record expunged. So you can actually say that you were never convicted of a crime as well. So expungement is the process by where you kind of get all the different records that even show that you were ever convicted of anything tossed out. So that's
even though you're accepting guilt when you accept the pardon.
Correct. Yeah. What is a commutation?
Commutation means like they say, okay, you're in jail for 20. You've been there 5. We're going to commute the rest of your sentence. So you're just in there for time served.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And the grounds for that are generally the same reason that a pardon might be granted. There's some sort of underlying good reason as to why it should be granted.
But it's still going to be on there as a felony or whatever that you were charged with, right? You're still going to have that on your record. It doesn't expunge it.
Correct. You're still guilty of it. So it still shows up on your record. It doesn't restore you back to the full rights of citizenship like a pardon would. The pardon is like it never happened. Commutation's like, it happened. But we're going to go ahead and say you're good.
We're going to let you out and make you promise to be a good boy.
Yeah. What is a release or fine or remission?
A release or fine or remission?
Release from fine or remission.
Oh, well, a release from fine means you don't have to pay the fine anymore some jail terms you have days you serve or years plus a fine that you pay. And that means you don't have to pay it either.
And what is the one last thing that we talked about? What is a respite?
A respite means like, say you wanted to get out of prison because your parent died and you want to go and grieve and be at the funeral and they let you out of prison for a set amount of time, but then you got to come back.
Yeah, I mean, that can be a respite as well. Sometimes you might hear that called a furlough if somebody's actually already incarcerated. They might get out on a furlough for some sort of good reason. But typically speaking, a respite has to do with not having the sentence carried out just yet. They're going to give you a delay before the sentence is actually carried out. But I guess it probably could happen too if you were incarcerated. There was some really good reason as to why you might need a respite, like kind of a suspension of the punishment. So,
oh, well, a respite you're saying then is more like to start your sentence, like maybe you get convicted for a year, but they say you don't have to report till 3 months from now.
Right. You would get a brief respite. But, you know, that there's no reason I don't think it could be used for the middle of a sentence as well. I just think it's probably would even be more rare that that would happen. So, because if there's some good reason for that, you know, it's probably not going to come to the level of a pardon. It's probably going to be something up to like some sort of jail or prison type board that might let you do something like that. So, well, that's going to do it for Legal Briefs and our second episode on pardons.
But it's extremely topical at the current time.
Yes, very topical. More topical than a topical ointment.
It removes all stains and itches and things like that.
Yep. More topical than Tux medicated pads.
Well, the main thing I learned from this is if you're going to go duck hunting, you better be sure you're shooting the right ducks.
Because you should.
Otherwise, you could really end up ducked up.
Yep. I know that was, I can see your notes in front of you that you wrote that out like weeks ago.
I actually didn't think of it till you were talking about the ducks and everything. I don't know why I didn't think of it before then.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Dr. Lawyer Indian Chief.
We're proud to be coming to you almost live from Smurl Studios, high atop Three Last Mountain.
And we want to thank Audio Boom for being a part of their network.
And we also want to thank the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for helping give us our start. Their podcasts include Bim Bam, Sawbones, Still Buffering, and many other fine offerings.
If you have the chance, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you like us. And if you didn't, don't bother.
You're not supposed to say that.
You're going to edit that out, though, aren't you?
Why? You never did.
Thanks for listening. This has been Court Appointed. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude. Hello, and welcome to Tommy's Random Thought. Today's random thought is division. Joe Biden may have won the election and has now been sworn in, but he is faced with a world of challenges. A pandemic is still gripping the world, and especially the U.S., as we just went over 400,000 dead from COVID. Now we hear that due to a lack of pre-planning, we are already running into vaccine shortages. It seems we didn't purchase all that we could when we could, and we only have about 3% of the U.S. population completed. In addition, the economy is suffering due to this pandemic, and unemployment is at an all-time high, with food banks being overwhelmed due to immense need. We have never looked weaker to our enemies, and we have never been distanced further from our allies. But the worst thing is that maybe except for the Civil War, we have never been more divided as a nation. Let's face it, there are over 70 million people that want to be a part of the problem, not part of the solution. They are praying for Joe Biden to fail so they can say, "I told you so." The biggest problem is if Biden does fail, we are all the ones that will pay for it. The rich keep getting richer no matter what. It's all us people from the middle on down that will suffer. If Biden fails, then we fail. The bottom 75% of the income level is pretty much split 50-50 Republican and Democrat. So being in favor of one party or the other will not insulate you from the harm. I have spent most of a lifetime involved in team sports. One axiom you always hear is that there is no I in team. That is kind of the situation that we are in as a country. With all of these challenges that face us, we must find a way as a nation to come together again. We have got to make being a Republican or being a Democrat secondary to being an American. Lies, rumors, and conspiracy theories are not going to help either side. And what none of us ever seem to take into consideration is at least half of these divisive, rhetoric-filled articles or postings are not even real. They are planted by foreign countries. China, Russia, North Korea, and Iran have all been found to promote these types of things, with the aim being to further divide our country. Because a divided America is a weak America. Our faith in our country and its leaders and our resolve to put our country first is where Americans get their strength that makes us the strongest nation on earth. We all have to be better. We all have to be willing to work with each other and try to make America work, even if an election didn't turn out the way we wanted. Our elected leaders need to be people that do not serve up alternative facts. There is only one truth, not multiple correct versions of the truth, only one. If we have leaders that promote lies to people that want to believe in alternate reality, then we need to hold those representatives accountable because that is how we got in this situation. One man telling a lie to serve his own self-interest, and then the others that joined in to serve their own self-interest. These lies are fed to their constituency to get them stirred up. And it worked, to the point of trying to overthrow our country in the course of democracy. Now, who do you think is going to jail and is being held accountable? Is it the guy that told the original lie? No, he just went to his palatial mansion in Florida. Is it some of the other congressmen or senators that egged on the people to fight like hell and this is trial by combat, hang Pence and kidnap Pelosi? They are not even being forced to resign. They are still in their positions of power to egg on again other zealots to do their bidding. Meanwhile, Burt Common Man, that heard the call to arms, is facing federal charges. And almost every one of them has looked right into the camera and said, "I was just doing what Trump asked me to do. Isn't that okay?" Yes, poor old Joe Biden has a lot of challenges ahead, but so do we as a nation. We can't expect him to do it by himself. We have to learn how to talk to each other again and how to consider an idea that may be different from what we already think. We have to come together as one people in one nation and realize why we have made it this far. Our unity and our resolve that we will defend each other's right to dissent, but in a peaceful manner. And maybe we even start listening to each other, and maybe we hold our elected representatives accountable. I don't think it would hurt either if all the social platforms went dark for about a year. Give us all a time out from all of that, because it is the root of why we are a nation divided. This has been Tommy's Random Thought.